to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Hey, I hope you guys are having a great Sunday. Great start to the week. I am excited for Easter. I really think God is getting ready to do something. I believe it. I believe it. I have to know it because I have to know God's not done with our nation. God's not done with our city, and God's not done with us. And so I believe that God's getting ready to do something, and I believe he wants to use you. You guys all should have gotten these. Hopefully you all took some of these home. These should not just be a card that you're thinking, okay, I wonder who I should invite. These cards should have a name on them. Each one of these cards, as you pick it up, there should be a name that comes to mind going, I am going to invite so-and-so. Whatever that name is that comes to your mind, that person that you know that does not know Jesus. And as you have these cards, you know, I've got a stack and I've got names for different people that I know I'm going to invite. These cards are not just a card, they're a name. They're a person for me. That's what these cards are for me. It's a person that I know that I so desire for them to see Jesus. In our city group, in my city group on Thursday nights, each one of us picked somebody that we're praying for and that we're going to invite. Simone, so she. I'm telling your story right now. Simone picked the name. Right after city group, she texted her friend. It might have even been during it. She texted her friend, hey, go to church with me on Easter. She called me right after and said, they already said yes. I need a new name. I need another name. So then that next Thursday night, she picked another person. She called them. Before she even left, she said, they already said yes. I need another name. That is what we want to see. That's how revival starts. It starts, like this series, it goes viral when we're willing to take one step of faith and invite one, and then invite one. It's that idea of sharing something. If you have not shared Tony and Lisa's video about Maya doing her box of cereal, if you've not done that, we want that to go viral. We want it to go viral. If you've not shared it yet, share it. Retweet it. Tag Ellen in it. Get her on Ellen's show. Because, man, wouldn't it be cool if Maya was on that platform sharing about the love of Jesus on a show? That would just be the coolest thing ever. That would be so cool. But that's how things go viral. So I want you, when you grab these, because each one of you are going to grab some of these. If you don't, check your heart. If you don't, and you don't have a name, if you don't have a name of somebody that you know that does not know Jesus, get out of your circle, get into a new one. Sit at a coffee shop every week, go to the same one every week until you get to know that barista. Or is barista like, no matter what sex, it is okay. I've never worked at a coffee shop. Go to the same restaurant. If you're like, I don't have anybody, my kids, we go to Christian school, da da da. Go somewhere every week until you know them and invite. So that's what I want to encourage you guys with today. So hopefully each one of you got a pack of juicy fruit. Did anybody not get a pack of juicy fruit? If you did not, don't be a punk. I can think of a few of you that would be a punk just to not raise your hand. You need a pack of juicy fruit. If you did not get one, raise your hand. There's some hands up. You need to get one right now because this goes along with the message. You don't have to chew it. But I noticed, I was looking at it this morning, when did it go up to 35 cents? Who else realized that today? You're looking at it, you're like, I remember it was 25 cents. What in the... But man, who smelled it though when you got your pack? You're like, juicy fruit. So the series is titled Viral. It's got multiple meanings. That one idea is that we want the gospel to go viral, and you know, that's really the main, but it's also got that whole, you know, social media viral, the whole, you know, health and all those things that go inside our bodies. And I remember when my son Joel was in the hospital, and they were looking at the different bacteria he had. He had three different bacteria. He had one called E. coli, one called, it was typhoid, it was salmonella. It was a form of typhoid. And then another one called Shigella. Shigella is something you only get really in Asia. And those are the three things. And their worry, their concern was that the bacteria he had a resistance to the antibiotic. Because in some places and in some countries, they've so over-medicated and so overdone a certain antibiotic that that bacteria, that strand of bacteria, had learned to resist that antibiotic. So they were worried that the reason why he wasn't getting better, because he'd been in the hospital for days, the reason they were worried is that the strand he had created a resistance to the medicine he needed. The other problem is that with the same kind of medications, we can create a tolerance to where our bodies no longer can take what it is because we become tolerant and we need something new and better and stronger. You see, what once brought a cure had become ineffective. As Christians, we can allow the same thing to happen in our lives. We can become tolerant, or people can become resistant to the gospel. You know, we can fill our lives with Bible teachings and podcasts and so many books. Can't we do that? And we can just be these really big, fat Christians, always wanting to go deeper and deeper. And we expect it on Sunday, only on Sunday. And we almost create a more this resistance, this building a tolerance within us, and we don't even realize it's happening. Jesus never meant us to be big, fat Christians. He wants us to be poured out and emptied at the end of each and every day. He wants you to be so tired of sharing about him. So not tired in the way of like, I hate it, but so tired like, I dumped everything out emotionally for Jesus today. I shared Jesus with my neighbor. I shared Jesus with my coworker. I shared Jesus with the person, whoever it is. I served in children's ministry, whatever it is. Where you're pouring out. I served on the team, whatever it is. Where you're pouring out. We don't want to lose our effectiveness. You see, I remember Juicy Fruit as a kid. And one thing that I remember about Juicy Fruit is I love the taste. Who doesn't like the taste of Juicy Fruit? But what I remember is that the taste was short-lived. Is that not the truth? I knew that it would go in and it would taste so good at first, but then after I actually timed it yesterday, I chewed it. I haven't chewed a stick of Juicy Fruit and I couldn't tell you how long. 7 minutes. 7 minutes. After 7 minutes, the gum became tasteless, gross, and hard, and I had to spit it out. I could not handle it anymore after that 7 minutes. My kids, I think they went through like a whole pack. Could somebody get that for me? Austin, thank you. Go ahead and try it. If you have not taken a piece yet, if you haven't tried it yet, go ahead and chew a piece right now. I gave you all some. Try it. Our lives, if not lived full of love, can become just like a stick of Juicy Fruit. We can become tasteless. But we don't have to be this way. Here's my one thing I want you to get today. A life full of Jesus' love will never lose its flavor. A life full of Jesus' love will never, ever, ever lose its flavor. And that's what Jesus did to each and every one of our lives, didn't he? He added taste and he added flavor to your life. That's what Jesus has done. And if he hasn't done that, if you're still working through, you're still struggling, you're like, should I step into this whole Jesus thing? Should they talk about it? They talk about how you can belong before you believe. But I'm listening to this and I know my life doesn't have flavor right now. Jesus' life will fill you up more than you could ever imagine or think. If we want the gospel to go viral, our lives should add flavor everywhere we go. Jesus wants to fill each and every one of our lives with love. And that love will flavor your life. A life filled with the love will spill out love on everyone around you. It'll spill out on everyone. I remember when I was in Bible college, I had this teacher, professor, his name was Bob Hoekstra, and he was on a plane once. Many times, I'm sure. And there's a stewardess, or whatever you call them now, flight attendant, and she was like, everybody on the plane was mad. They were grumpy. Have you ever been on that flight where everybody's grumpy? Your flight was late. It's hot on the plane. No, they ran out of who knows what, and they don't have any more pretzels for you, and they don't serve nuts anymore because everybody's allergic to it. And you got all those issues. And you had that flight attendant, and she was so nice. So nice. He goes, and every time I saw her and I saw her smile, he goes, there was something special about her. He goes, it was like, and this is how he was a super smiley guy. He goes, I'd walk by and be like, I smell something. And that's how he was like. He's just a super nice, friendly, not an evil. That probably looked more evil. He was this balding, super nice, shorter man. And he'd walk by and he goes, man, you could just smell something on her. He goes, at the end, as we were walking up the plane, he goes, I'm walking by her. I'm like, I smell something. He goes, why are you smiling so much? She goes, because Jesus loves me. Our lives should be so full of the love of Jesus that we cannot help but love those around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for today. God, I ask that you would speak in us, and Lord, that you would speak through us this week. God, I ask that you'd meet each and every one of us where we are as we sit here. Lord, I pray, God, that as so many pastors, I know they're getting ready for Easter, and they're encouraging their people to get ready for Easter. Lord, I pray that churches throughout the valley, that we would not look to invite those that already go to church, Lord, but we would be praying for all those that are in our lives that do not know you. Lord, that we would see revival in this valley. Lord, I selfishly ask, God, that you would start it here. Lord, that City View would be the epicenter of your movement in Phoenix. Lord, that we would see you move in a way that our nation has not seen it in so long. God, I pray that you would use each person here and their gifts and the talents that you've given them, Lord, to share your glory and to share your name with their neighbors, with our friends, with our coworkers, and all those, Lord, that are in our lives. God, I ask that you'd speak to us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. So Jesus, this section of Scripture, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus had just, he's talking to this crowd of people, and he's really talking about how to live this life, this new life that God desires for us. And he comes to them in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5, and he says, You are the salt of the earth. You. Those of you who have chosen to follow after me, those of you who say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, those of you who have taken a step and said, you know, I want to change the way I live, and I want to live different because Jesus died for me. He saved me from my sins. He set me free from sin and death. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Anybody think their piece of juicy fruit has lost its flavor yet? You've about ready to spit it out, wrap it up in that piece of paper because it's gotten too hard, and you're like, I can't anymore. My teeth hurt. But what good is it if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Tasteless salt. The opposite of what salt is. In the ancient times, salt was used for so many purposes. It was used to preserve, to add flavor. It was used for healing. It was used to help heal and revive and purify. And Jesus tells his disciples, you are the salt. This is what you are called to be. You're called to be salt. But then Jesus adds this bizarre statement. Salt being tasteless. You see, salt really does not lose its taste or effectiveness, but it can. And the only time salt can really lose its taste or effectiveness is if it is contaminated by something from the outside. That's when it loses its taste and effectiveness. If you leave it out in the open air, it can all of a sudden no longer have its taste and effectiveness. if you allow other chemicals to become, to infiltrate it and to start taking away its flavor. That's the only time salt can lose its effectiveness. Salt is naturally salty. It's a natural thing. It would be unnatural for it to lose its taste. Same as Christians. Christians naturally should add flavor to the world. That should be natural. You should naturally have a joy. When you are a believer in Jesus Christ, joy should be a natural thing for you. Not like a happiness, oh, some bad thing happened. But it's a joy knowing that God is in control. It's a peace knowing that God is in control. It's a love for others knowing that God loved me. It's a forgiveness for others that have hurt you because God first forgave you. You see, the Christian life should be natural, just like salt. And that's Jesus' point right now. He's trying to get them to realize being the salt of the earth should be natural for you. It should be unnatural for you to lose your taste. You see, but when we get distracted with the idea of Jesus and not loving like Jesus, we start to lose our flavor. Do you hear that? When we get distracted with the idea of Jesus and not loving like Jesus, we start to lose our flavor. When we are more concerned with the process of learning about Jesus and not loving like Jesus, we become tasteless. When we're more worried and we're more concerned with the process of learning about Jesus and not loving like Jesus, we become tasteless. Salt only becomes tasteless when it is affected by an outside source and it is no longer pure. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out. You see, we will all throw out our piece of gum because at some point, I'm sure very soon, it will become tasteless. At some point, very soon, you'll be like, I can't handle any more of this juicy fruit. It has lost its juicy and its fruit. It will be trampled underfoot. Don't throw it under the ground. AMC wouldn't like that. He says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp. So he's, right now, Jesus is trying to realize and help us realize that there are things that are not normal. Salt does not become unsalty. Lights do not get hidden. That's not natural. You do not cover a light and salt does not go unsalty. Okay, this is the thing. Jesus is trying to make them realize these are some bizarre things. These are not natural for these things. He says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket instead. It's not natural. Light is to be lighty. Salt is to be salty. That's what they do. Light, light, salt, salts. He says, instead, a lamp is to be placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in my mind, I think of that Corona commercial, whether that's appropriate or not. I don't know if you've seen that, where the guy turns on his camera light on his phone and puts because their light goes out there, and he puts that camera light, he puts his Corona, and then it lights their dinner table. Looks so nice and pretty. If you haven't seen that commercial, I'm not advertising for Corona, but this is what my brain thinks of. In the same way, let your good deeds... See what he's talking about? Your actions. The love that you do in the same way, let your good deeds, let the love that I put inside you shine out so that all may see. Why? So they might point to Jesus. So they might glorify God. Not you, God. As we follow Jesus, our taste and saltiness should be seen by all. That's the deeds, how we live. They should thank Jesus and come to Jesus. You see, a full life is not found in how much we know about Jesus, but in how much we love like Jesus. That's a full life. What does salty living look like? What's the evidence of it? Remember, a life full of Jesus, of Jesus' love, will never lose its flavor. I'm going to give you six things of what salt does and the things, evidence of us being salty in our lives, us adding flavor in our lives. Number one, salt preserves. How can we as believers help preserve lives? To preserve means to prevent from decomposition. Means to keep alive, to decay. Thank you. I'm going to probably change that for next service. That's way better. Somebody remind me. Austin, will you remind me? Means to keep alive. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7 says this. The words of a priest's lips should preserve knowledge of God. And people should go to him for instruction. For the priest is the messenger of the Lord of heaven's armies. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a royal priesthood. Our words should preserve life. Your words to your kids should preserve life. Your words to your roommates should preserve life. Your words to your coworkers should preserve life. Do your words preserve life? Number two, salt flavors. I hate boring food. When I married my wife, I experienced so, I remember the first time she made the spicy burritos. I don't know that I've ever eaten something that hot in my life. The flavors she's added to my life are like sometimes mouth numbing. But I hate boring food. Don't you do? Think about, well, some people might not hate it. You might like boring food. It's okay. But I don't want to have a boring life. I want to be a flavorful life. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says this. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. When you look at your life and the places you go, do you add nasty flavor? Do you naturally lead conversations into gossip, into depressing things like, oh, no, this is so sad? Or do you naturally go that way? Or do you naturally lead a conversation to joy? Do you naturally lead a conversation to Jesus? I was out with a pastor friend of mine. His name's Jackie. He's a pastor over at Cross Church in Surprise. And he and I were at an airport, and I'd always heard he's this just crazy evangelist. And so we're at an airport with these two, we're by these two, this older couple, and they're like super wealthy. And you say, how do you know? I mean, if you saw her rings, I mean, she had more diamonds than I think jewelry stores have. And he started asking them about God and church. And all of a sudden, his mouth was seasoned with flavor. Now they shut it off like crazy because they had built up a resistance. I wondered why. I wondered how many people, instead of being seasoned with love, were seasoned with judgment. I really wondered that. Because that lady closed off like I had never seen a wall built so fast. Like she built that wall like Mexico could never cross. Like she was so fast. She was like, boom! I was like, whoa, my goodness. It was like, I have never experienced a wall go up That was the most insane wall I've ever seen. I was like, what hurt her so bad that wouldn't let love in? Do your words add flavor? You see, a life full of Jesus' love will never lose its flavor. Remember that. Number three, salt heals. As believers, our words should bring healing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort others. With our words, we have the opportunity to bring comfort to those who are hurting. Some of you, you're going through hard times right now, and I know the hard times you're walking through. And you're wondering why. God tells us right here. Paul, who wrote this book of Corinthians, he says, the reason why you go through the hard times is so that you can comfort somebody else. It's because God wants to use you to help somebody else. That's why you go through those hard times. You might say, that's not fair. I'm sure somebody used their hard time to comfort you. Your words can bring healing. Did you know that? I was listening to my wife encourage her sister yesterday. And man, I was a proud husband. I was like, Laramie, you are such an encourager. Such an encourager. Her words, as they were being poured out, were just encouraging and healing her sister. Comforting her in that moment of like, why am I here? I'm in Tennessee. I know God's called me there, but I'm stuck at home with my sick kids and or all these different things. And she's just like, why? She's like, you got to remember what God called you to do. Our words can bring revival. Our words revive. It says in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, it says, for this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite, who is crushed, and the one who is lowly, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the crushed. You see, God wants to use you to revive those who are crushed, to revive those who are lowly, to bring them back to life. You have every one of us have experienced that revival from death to life. Those of us who have said, I believe in Jesus, we've experienced that new life. We've experienced that revival. God wants to use you to do that for somebody else. You see, as we allow God's word to infiltrate our hearts and allow his love to flow out of it, revival is a natural result. A life full of Jesus' love will never lose its flavor. The fifth thing, salt purifies. Have you ever put salt on an open wound? It burns, but it's cleaning. You see, the world needs hope. 1 John chapter 3, John wrote this. One of Jesus' followers wrote this. He says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. John says, when we put our hope in Jesus, he purifies us. God wants to use you to bring purification to other people's hearts. As you share his word, as you share his love, that's what happens. The last thing, salt creates thirst. You ever eat chips at dinner at a Mexican restaurant? And then you just get more and more thirsty, the more chips. I don't know about you, but I love the chips with the most salt. I will add salt to my chips, and some people hate it, but I'm like, come on, the more salt, the better. It's like just... it's probably super bad for me, and someday I'll regret it. But man, someday I'll be in heaven, and I won't care anymore. Does your life make other people thirsty for Jesus? You see, we should make people thirsty for him. Our lives should create a desire that other people look going, I want what you have. Salt creates thirst. The question is, how salty am I? Am I salty enough where people go, I want what you have? What makes you different? What do you have that I need? Does our life do that for others? Are we creating thirst? If not, ask yourself why. Ask yourself why. Am I salty enough? Do I have so much of Jesus flowing in me that people can't help but see it? Ask yourself, is Jesus flowing out of me? Your friends, your family, your roommates, your coworkers, they should see something in you that makes them want what you have. Jesus says this, that we are the salt of the world. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, anyone who drinks of this water, meaning normal water, drinking fountain water, he goes, you're going to be thirsty again. He said, but anybody who drinks from me, you will never thirst again. when making people thirst, when our lives are so full of Jesus, people should be thirsty for what we have. So would you say that your life is tasty? Would you say that your life is salty? What's the flavor of your life? And what is your life full of? Are you like this pack of juicy fruit? You started off strong and at some point you died down. Or are you so full of Jesus' love that you'll never lose the taste? Because that's what we each are called to be. You all got these invites. These went to over 20,000 people. We invited 20,000 people to church in our neighborhood. Those of you who live in 85027, 85308, you're going to get one. We ordered, I don't even know how many of these, 2,000, I think. You're thinking, do we have enough seats? I don't know. Right now we're praying about, do we need to add a third service? Do we need to take a step of faith that I was not brave enough to do earlier? Who are you going to invite? Does your life have so much flavor that somebody else wants what you have? Are you so full? And are you so creating thirst in other people because of the Jesus love that you have? Remember, next weekend we have Discover Card. They're going to be here seeing a movie. We're going to have a photo booth outside for people. For you, you can take pictures. You're more than welcome. But really, it's that we might have something to attract Discover Card to say, why are they here? I would love for you to be on the team. I would love for you to be on our hello team, to be on our usher team, to be on our security team. As I told you, our security team is so light right now. Our usher team is so light right now. Our hello team is so light right now. And I'm not going to beg any of you, because Jesus never begged anybody. And I look at, somebody was talking to me this morning and, you know, talking about more people to serve. And I'm like, you know, look at Jesus' disciples. When he actually gave them a challenge, over half of them said, I don't want to follow you anymore, Jesus. When he actually challenged them to live, they said, oh, this is too much, Jesus. Don't be tasteless. Be tasteful. Be so salty that when Discover Card walks on, they go, I want what they have. When you invite your neighbor, the reason why they come is because they go, I want what you have. When you invite your coworker tomorrow, you say, you give this to me, you say, you know, I've been waiting. I'm sure some people say, I've been waiting for you to invite me to your church. I don't want an invite on your social media page. I want you to say, hey, come to church with me next week. I wonder how many of your coworkers, how many of your roommates, how many of your neighbors are waiting for a personal invite, not a social media one. I wonder how many of them are just waiting for you to say, hey, come to church with me. I want to challenge you. Find your one. Your one person. Be so salty that people can't help want what you have. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you that you have satisfied the thirst in us. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to love our neighbor, to love our friends, to love those around us. Lord, may we be so full of your love that we can't help but add flavor. In Jesus' name. And all those people said, amen. Hey guys.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX. Or go to cityviewphx.com.